This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. We begin with the American economy because the Atlanta Fed, which I've been guided to understand, can be forward-looking about growth in the United States, is now reporting in macroeconomics terms that the expectation the second quarter, just finished, June 30th, is going to show a minus 2.1% GDP, minus 2.1% GDP, following a minus number for the first quarter of 2022. The textbook says that's a recession. I welcome Liz Peek of The Hill, of Fox News, much on Fox Business, to explain why we're watching the Atlanta Fed and what this means about how Americans are at the gas pump and at the food store suffering inflation. Liz, a very good evening to you. This Atlanta Fed, it's a crystal ball, but it's a crystal ball that has, I understand, reliability. It changes day to day. This minus 2.1%, is that determined, fixed, or is it going to change over these next weeks before we get the first report on the second quarter? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, what the Atlanta Fed does is feed into the hopper all current economic reports. So if we got a report tomorrow, for example, that home prices or home sales went through the roof unexpectedly, probably that minus 2.1%, which is where they are now for the second quarter, would not be quite so bad. In other words, it's sort of a live reading of all the economic data that's out there, and it has gotten steadily worse over the last several weeks. Everyone was shocked to see it go to zero growth because most, I would say 80% of economists were looking for gains in GDP in the second quarter. It went to zero and now it's minus 2.1, as you point out. But I think it's reflecting what an awful lot of people are seeing across the board. I mean, you know, consumer sentiment, which you and I have talked about many times, completely fell through the floor in early June, and that showed up in May's retail numbers. In other words, I think consumers actually began to feel much less optimistic beginning in May. Adjusted for inflation, May spending was down by consumers. You know, that's 70% of the economy. If consumers are alarmed about inflation, and every indication is that they are, they will begin and have begun cutting back on spending, and kind of there goes the economy. I mean, what's strange this time, John, is that going into this downturn, if that's where we are, and I think it is probably, the job market has stayed remarkably strong. And of course, that's not normally the case. But I think even there, around the fringes, certainly in tech, you've seen Meta and other companies now stall hiring and actually lay off some people. The big box retailers that did not have very good recent earnings have warned of cost cutting, and that really does mean, in their case, probably cutting back on the number of employees. Unemployment, the four-week average of unemployment claims has begun to go up. So I think the job market is softening. What's holding it together is that we came into this period with every employer in the world struggling to hire, and I think a lot of companies are reluctant to lay off people because they had such a difficult time finding new workers to begin with. That said, I think when earnings begin to look poor and demand begins to go down, which it already is, I think a lot of companies are going to just basically put hiring on hold. So, you know, that's where we are. That's what the Atlanta Fed is telling us. And I think it's happened faster than people expected. I think, you know, generally speaking, when the money supply begins to change by dint of the Fed changing its balance sheet adjustments and raising interest rates, when the money supply begins to contract or the growth starts to slow, that often doesn't show up for 4 to 6 quarters. But in this case, I just think sentiment turned negative, that the whole process has been accelerated, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Liz, the Fed is meeting this month, and the expectation is another rate hike, perhaps a significant one. However, a deal I've learned from you over the years, a deal of the Fed's job is jawboning, talking us into slowing down, or or mentioning that things are overheating. So the drop in commodity prices you mentioned, not oil, but certainly soft commodities and the metals, all of that, copper, for example, is, you know, is down there through the floor along with consumer sentiment. Is that the Fed? Can we give Jerome? I'm looking for credit to give to Jerome Powell. Did he talk commodity prices down? And is that easing inflation? Because I've been taught that recession is not a bad thing when you have excesses. Are we trimming it without the Fed's moving?
Well, that's a good question. I think certainly there was a growing expectation that rising interest rates would cut into demand, and that the economy was probably a little more fragile in terms of consumers having exhausted their savings, beginning to pile up debt, et cetera, than was generally expected. But I just think actually the commodities markets are reflecting, number one, the fact that when prices go through the roof, as they have for many commodities over the last 18 months, supply does begin to increase. And so if there's an expectation that demand will soften, it's not too surprising to see some of these prices go down. But so I would say it's a reflection of weakening demand and maybe the expectation that that will accelerate as the Fed rate hikes take hold. But I think the process is sort of ongoing right now for a variety of reasons, yes, including the Fed hikes.
The White House, you have a new column and evidencing that there is unhappiness across the land with the White House's remarks and conduct these last 2 years. Now, the White House is on watch. So you always get blamed for what happens on watch. If there's an earthquake, if an asteroid strikes the earth, you're going to blame the White House. However, I was guided through your column to a series of remarks made by Democratic operatives and Democratic politicians. These are people who vote for the president and who support the president, and many of them support the president running for re-election. And there was a list in the New York Times reporting, a series of calamities that all seem beyond Mr. Biden's control, an odd way of putting it. But here's the list. Inflation, gas prices surging, lingering pandemic, mass shooting, Supreme Court, and congressional Democrats not voting for BBB. Now, some of those things are beyond anyone's control, the pandemic, for example. However, not the BBB part. Liz, we spent all fall before the crisis in Ukraine talking about how Build Back Better was going to make inflation worse. It didn't pass, but I've missed the White House coming forward and saying, we were wrong, you were right, and persuading errant moderate Democrats was the wrong policy. Joe Manchin is not the enemy of the United States of America. Have you heard that?
No. I mean, in fact, given any opportunity, Joe Biden continues to talk about those elements of Build Back Better that he thinks might still work out. I mean, up until very recently and perhaps ongoing, the White House has been talking to Joe Manchin about what he would agree to, and apparently what he would agree to is some increase in spending on various programs, definitely trying to allow the government to negotiate with the pharmaceutical companies for lower drug prices, and by the way, a tax hike on corporations and very wealthy Americans. I got to tell you, John, right now, I cannot imagine a worse idea than raising taxes on the productive people who are keeping this economy afloat. I mean, that would be just lunacy. So the latest thing I heard from Joe Manchin was, it's not happening, there's nothing going forward. But I will guarantee you that economists like Paul Krugman, the real leftist economists out there, are going to tell us at some point the real problem was we didn't spend more. That's what they said about the Great Recession, if you recall, that the stimulus wasn't big enough. I'm pretty sure they're going to come back this time around if we have a real sink or a recession here and say, see, we told you so. What we really needed was to spend more. I completely disagree with that. An awful lot of people like Larry Summers have been very vocally critical of the American Rescue Plan, which is almost $2 trillion on top of $5 trillion other dollars. It was simply too much. So Joe Biden, you know, can't let go of it. I think even he should take a look and see how many Democrats running for the midterms on reelecting or being elected in the midterm elections are running on Build Back Better. How many say that that is their program? I haven't heard of exactly zero. So it isn't exactly like Republicans put the fork in that misguided bunch of policies. I think Democrats have too, and hopefully it has been left on the cutting room floor.
Also, the spending that was done by the Trump administration, that also fuels this inflation. Over these last 2 years, we've seen the government hand out lots of money that really didn't go anywhere. One of the things that I've read, Liz, and it's just gossip, is that the crypto collapse is a product of that. Well, it wasn't quite free money, but it was money into the hands of people who had money. And that we see the excesses in crypto and other inventions. You know, tulips were being invented all during 21 for people to invest in.
Well, I think there's some truth in that. I mean, one of the sort of nutty things about an awful lot of the stimulus money was it went to people like you and me who didn't need it. I mean,
yes.
You know, people who still had their jobs and who weren't really struggling. Generally speaking, emergency payouts are to people who are unemployed, who don't have any prospect of being employed through no fault of their own. Their company has gone under or something of that sort. So it was a bit of a strange thing. And when the Fed, you know, looks back on how they could have missed the signals about inflation, I surely do hope that they will look at exactly that. What happened to consumer net worth, the fact that stock markets and bond markets kept going up and everybody got wealthier and wealthier, that is a huge push to spending. Again, with some lag, but the truth is the money was there, and then you had this enormous $2.5 trillion in excess savings that was piled up because of those checks that went out and nobody had a place to spend it. So, yeah, there were some people who really were devastated by the COVID shutdowns, John. The money should have gone to those people and not to just everybody in the world. And by the way, hundreds of billions of dollars apparently have just gone missing. I mean, through internet scams, through cartels and other groups that basically stole that money. And it looks like we're not going to get very much of it back. I've got to tell you, if there's not a better indictment of panic stimulus spending, I can't think of it.
Liz Peek writes for The Hill, writes for Fox News. She has a column up right now apprising the political situation with inflation, with the surge of gasoline prices. We're going to turn to energy globally because it's all one market and there are signs that it's straining mightily among our allies in Europe. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.